This is Reuven Levy. We're learning the book Gan HaShalom. We're in the Hebrew version, and we're in on page 118. We're in a chapter which discusses the need for a man to respect his wife, to give honour to his wife, and for him not to expect the opposite. It's the obligation on the man to honour the wife, not the obligation of the wife to honour the husband, although she does and she will. But her honour, the honour that she gives to her husband, is dependent upon him, dependent on a result, on a consequence of how he is acting towards his wife. If he is acting in the correct way, his wife will respect him, and if not, then she will not. It's a direct consequence. Not so with the honour due from a man. The honour due from a man is regardless of how his wife is acting. He needs to give his wife honour no matter how she is acting towards him. It is not the result or the consequence. It is pure giving in every circumstance. And if his wife is acting towards him in a way which he does not like, and the husband has to know that it's a message for him. It's a message from Hashem. It's a message for him to examine his own ways, examine his deeds, and see what it is that Hashem is trying to tell him. What he needs to change. The wife is simply a message service from Hashem. On page 118, Ravarish writes, "Avalim magia lo bizyonot." If a husband deserves to have rebukes, criticisms, yisurim, suffering, etc. Hakol fi ma she'Hashem rotzeh lirmos lo. Everything is in accordance with what Hashem is trying to show him, trying to hint to him. Ubefrat, and in particular, she'abizyonot hem hakaparat obanot hatovah biyoter. A person should know that any bizyonot he gets, it could well be kaparat obanot, an atonement for his sins. Well, we know the Gemara says, Rav Arish brings down a lot, very important rule, that there's no suffering in this world without prior transgression. Ein yisurim b'li avonot. And when a person receives rebuke from his wife, should know that it's an atonement for the transgressions, the sins that he has done. Azayhu yikabelotam v'ishto. If he knows that, then he can accept receiving them from his wife. Tovato, and he'll know it's for his own good. Kimishia eino selekabel bozyonot v'ishto. Because a person who does not want to receive rebuke from his wife, mizakechlo et adamim ha'achorim shlo. Who is going to clean up his dirty blood? When we sin, it messes up our blood. We have cloudy, dirty blood as a result of the sins. They hang around in our body and they need to be cleaned up. Our blood needs to be purified. And it's the criticisms and rebukes and the suffering that purifies our blood. And if he doesn't accept it from his wife, where's it going to come from? Hu yitzterech lihipat sah halila. If he doesn't get it from somewhere else externally, then Rav Arash writes kind of half jokingly here, then he needs to explode. He needs some way of getting out that bad blood. Because it can't stay there. Ki you need to take the bad blood out of the person. If he's lucky, if he merits it, this purification process will happen through the rebukes of his wife, the imlav, and if not, and if not, then it'll have to come through another person or something else. Is going to have to be the messenger, going to be the shiliach that allows him to purify his blood. Therefore, if the husband has emunah, then he will take He will accept the rebukes with love and with emunah. Kamo David HaMelech, alav shalom. Like David HaMelech, shekibel oto Shimi ben Gera Kvala in Retzet. Mama, when he received a rebuke from Shimi ben Gera, in fact a curse, a very nasty rebuke, Mama, what did David HaMelech say? Hashem amar lo kala. He said, Hashem told him to rebuke me and do not punish him, leave him be. Right? King David's advisors wanted King David to kill him. He's not allowed to rebuke the king. But David HaMelech said, no, it's from Hashem. It's from Hashem. Let him be. Truth is, he needed to be punished. He was punished. He was punished after King David's death. King David left an instruction to his son Solomon to take care of him. Shlomo to take care of him. He did, because you're not allowed to do that to the king. But that's a different. He's got his own cheshbon, and he took care of his cheshbon, and he had his punishment. But from King David's personal perspective, his personal answer was, no, this is from Hashem. Is it the wife that is really criticizing the husband, that is really rebuking the husband? No, Hashem, it's really Hashem that is rebuking him. And on the contrary, on the contrary, a person should be happy, a husband should be happy that Hashem is purifying his blood. Right? We should hear those stinging words of criticism, and while we're lying on the floor trying to get up off the carpet, we should be thanking Hashem with our, all our might, with our last strength, Baruch Hashem. And so too, if that happens, if that person, a husband, has to do teshuva kafula, double teshuva. Why? Hen teshuva al ha'avon, shebeglalo magia lo habizyonon. Firstly, on account of the sin that caused him to be criticized. Right? We said that there's no sin without prior transgression. Sorry, there's no suffering without prior transgression. So the fact that the husband got attacked, got a dose of pain, was because he had transgressions in his past. So first of all, he needs to do teshuvah for those things that caused Hashem to make him suffer. And secondly, teshuvah al tsa'ah shenigram lishto. Secondly, he needs to do teshuvah on the fact that he caused his wife to be so upset. Because for sure it is not fun. It is not pleasant for a wife to be angry and to rebuke her husband. The only reason she did it was because Shamayim made her do it. Hashem forced her, lasot ken, to do this, biglal avonotav, on account of his sins. Nimsahu Hashem, therefore it turns out that he's guilty, but sa'a hazeh, in her suffering, shenigram la biglal avonotav, that he caused to her because of his own sins. Right? Husband sees that his wife is angry at him, has to do two types of teshuva. Firstly, he has to work out, why is Hashem punishing me? Why is Hashem upset with me? Why is Hashem sending me this suffering? And to realize that I must have done some sins in order to deserve this. So I need to do teshuva on those sins that caused this to happen. And then secondly, to do teshuva that my wife had to suffer. She got angry, she got upset with me. Tough. Rabash here writes about a time when he was helping, he was serving, he was helping one of the Gadolei Yisrael, one of the great leaders of Am Yisrael, and he accompanied him home to his house. And his wife, the wife of this Gadol, was shouting at him, and humiliating him, rebuking him, rebuking the gadol ador. Hachel harav lichot, and the rav started to cry. Because she'alti oto lefasher hadavar, and when I asked him if he could explain it to me, shehu bocher, that he was crying al kach about this. Shebeglal avonotav he tzrichal esbo. He explained to me that he was crying on account of the fact that his sins caused his wife to suffer. Imsa lo lo zo bilvad sheino mitraem al ishto hamavzeh oto ela mitzta'er she begino nistalba. So what happened, we see there, is that not only did the Rav not get upset or angry at his wife who was rebuking him, rather the opposite. He himself was suffering, he was upset because of the pain he caused her. And you should know, Rabbi says, that the main dirty blood, I want to call it that, that person needs to purify, it is on because of the ta'avav liuf, the lust for women. Lachen mishi ishtom vazeoto. Therefore, a person, a husband whose wife rebukes him, sarich la'asot teshuvah al ta'avat niuf shel. He should first of all do teshuvah on his ta'avat niuf. Right, that is going to be the lead contender for what's going on here. Why your wife got upset with you? Because she is purifying your blood. What's she purifying your blood from? From the main ta'avat, ta'avat niuf. So a person needs to do teshuvah on that, the atzara shel ishto, and also on the pain he caused his wife, the atzara shel haboreh, and even to do teshuvah on the pain he caused Hashem, shetzarech litzta'er imam, who needs to cause them to suffer. Kamar shekotov, like it's written, v'chol tzaratam lo tzar, all of their suffering is really his suffering. Right, Hashem suffers more than all of us when his children suffer. Right, when an Abba, when a father sees his children suffering, it's very hard for the father. And in some ways it's harder for the father than it is for the child. So too with our Father in heaven. Right, when he has no choice but to make us suffer in order to purify us, to take us to a better place, then he's suffering a lot. And it's worthwhile us giving thought also to his suffering. Lefamim, sometimes, anu ro'im she'isha mona'at et ha'bala ilasot kol minei dvarim shehu ohev lasot. Sometimes we see that a wife prevents her husband from doing all types of things that he likes to do. This is because he has not fulfilled his obligations towards her. Hu machsim imena dvarim shehu mechuyav lemaleh. He is foregoing, he's not giving over to her things that he needs to give to her. Kagon, for example, to sumat lev, attention, ahava, love, hakshava, listening to her, etc. V'zeh mitnakem bo ata, and this caused her to be jealous at that now. Shemechamet she'ishto yodat shehu rotzeh la'asot davar zeh, that now his wife knows that he wants to do a certain thing. Afilu lomod Torah, even if it's learning Torah. As b'davar zeh she'chashuv lo hi machiva lo, then that thing that the husband wants to do, that is important for him, that causes her pain. Be'etzem hi mesammenet lo ba'otot metzuka shechaser lo mimena yachas. And therefore she's showing him, by denying him the opportunity to do what he wants to do, she's showing him that there's something that's lacking in her. Comment she's saying, like you now for feeling pain. Right? She realized that she's causing her husband to suffer. But she is Ilu telling him, she's trying to show him that just like you're making me suffer, I'm gonna have to make you suffer. Not because she wants to, she's not vindictive, but she's trying to show her husband, she's trying to get over a message. You're causing me pain. And the only way I can show you that, the only way I can get it into your thick skull, the wife is saying, even though she doesn't realize that's what she's saying. She's saying, the only way I can make that clear to you is by making you upset, by causing you pain, and then you're going to get the message. Truth is, she's right. Right? Because that's when we usually do get the message. When it starts to hurt. When she's just saying, you know, she's just complaining. People might say she's complaining, she's moaning, she's upset. Oh, it's easy to ignore. When she starts causing me pain, oi, so now I'm actually paying attention. She's got my attention now. Right? Okay. So it's true. It works. Right? What can you do? It works. In reality, this her behavior is really a call to him. You're not paying attention to me. I'm lacking something. I'm in pain. It's not good for me. Why should it be good for you if I'm suffering? You should also feel that something is missing. That you are also in pain. Truth is, Hashem wants us to call out to him. Hashem wants us to cry out to him. Right, how do we know that? Maybe Hashem just wants us to be happy all day long. Right? We're learning Breslov. Breslov literature teaches, just be happy all day long. Just be happy all day long. Don't worry about anything. Don't argue about it. Don't complain. Right? How could... And then it would seem that crying out to Hashem goes against all that. I'm not meant to cry out to Hashem, I'm just meant to be happy. I am suffering, but I'm meant to be happy, I'm not meant to be crying out. So I've got a conflict. So what am I meant to do? Am I meant to be crying out, or am I meant to be being happy? So I had this conflict the other day. We have some issues that we're dealing with at home, and they're not easy to deal with. And I'm trying to be happy about them. No, everything's good. And my wife's going crazy. How can you say everything's good? Right, she knows I pray. She knows she does his body, do I do his body, do it. I want you to cry out to Hashem on this stuff. And I'm like, everything's good. And I'm thinking, there's something that I'm missing something here. I'm not understanding what I'm meant to be doing. Hashem, what do you want from me now? Do you want me to just be happy with this situation and everything's okay? Or do you want me to do what my wife says? And she's not your wife. Right? My wife is, for Hashem, way advanced in me in terms of Avodat Hashem. And she's normally right. But I couldn't put the two together. She thinks I need to be suffering and crying out. And I think I need to be happy. So I didn't know what to do. I went to my husband. And I said, you know what? This is the question I need to ask Rav Dor. I need to ask Rav Arush. Right? What do I do now? I didn't know what to do. So I thought, I was in the middle of my body then, didn't get to the top. I'm going to ask Rav Arush. I think I could ask Rav Dor, but now I may as well go to the top, go ask Rav Arush. So I said, okay, so what would I say? What's my question to Rav Arush? And I spoke out in my body to my question to Rav Arush. I said, Harav, Yeshli Baya. And I spoke to him in Hebrew. Spoke to the Rav in the middle of my body and answered the question, what should I do now? I'm meant to be sad? I'm meant to be crying out from pain? Or I'm meant to try and be happy and not feel the pain and just pretend everything's okay? What's the answer? And I explained the question. And as I explained the question, Hashem, or Rav Arush, or whoever you want, put the answer just popped into my head. As if he was there. So what's the answer I got? The answer I got was, in your Hisbodadut, you need to cry out in pain. 1 hour a day crying out in pain and 23 hours a day happy. When you're not in Yehid Bodidut, you need to be happy all day long. But when you're crying out to Hashem, you need to cry out from the bottom of your heart. You need to be broken. You need to be on the floor crying out, screaming to Hashem for help. If I've got pain, if I really need his help, I need to ask. But the rest of the time, I'm happy. And that's how the two things work. Baruch Hashem. Try to answer. Because really, Hashem wants us to cry out. We saw in when Am Yisrael were in Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim, Rav Nachman writes, was galut of Am Yisrael, but is also representative of the galut of every individual person. The galut of the fact that my soul is in exile. Am Yisrael in exile. Also my soul individually. So Mitzrayim is a mashal for all of us individually, our own personal exile, our own personal redemption. It's all the same framework, the same template. So how did they get out of Mitzrayim? How did they get out of their national exile? Only by crying out. Only when they cried out that they got taken. Hashem heard their cry and he took them out. In fact, Hashem at the end makes the suffering worse in order that they cry out. Because they weren't crying out. Right, Rav Jor told us, in the name of Rav Arash Ben Eder, that Moshe Rabbeinu was doing his Bodedut for 80 years solid in the desert. And what was his Bodedut? Not that Hashem should take them out of Mitzrayim. Rather, his Bodedut was that they should cry out to Hashem. Please let them cry out to you, Hashem. Because he knew the only way that they were going to get saved. They cried out. We need to learn from that. We need to learn from that we get out of our own exile by crying out to Hashem. We need to hit that place of crying out to Hashem. And not to be complacent. There's a Yetzirah that is, everything's fine, everything's good, everything's fine, everything's good. And that's not reality. That's not true emunah. It sounds like emunah, but it's false emunah. Why? Because it's dimyonot, it's pretending. I'm pretending everything is fine, but I'm not feeling everything is fine. Underneath, I'm crying, I'm dying, I'm screaming. And I'm pretending, everything's fine, oh, I can't see anything. I've got my head in the sand and I'm not looking at the reality. The reality is there's a big problem here. It's a major, major problem and I need to cry out. And it's not emunah, it's not real emunah. The rest of the day, yofi, I need to try and be good. But in that time when I'm speaking to Hashem, he wants me to cry out. He wants me to call out to him from a broken heart. From a place of, Hashem, I need your help. Because only when I turn to him and say, Hashem, I need your help, and he can help me. Until then, he can't help me. His hands are tied. So I'd like to help you, I'm just waiting for you to ask. And I'm like, no, I don't need help, everything's fine. I really do need help. If I'm at a place where I don't need help, I've got such a moon out, then fine. I don't need to ask for anything, and everything's wonderful and yoffy, but I don't. Then I should be very clear that I don't need help. I'm not going to get any help on this. Everything is perfect. Everything is just how I want it to be. But if the truth is everything is not perfect and everything is not just how I want it to be, I actually want it to change. So if I want the situation to change, I need to ask him to change it. If I'm very happy with the situation and everything is really good, not just pretend good, is really good by me, so far, roughly, don't need to say anything. I can dance all day long. But if actually I'm suffering, then I need to call out, I need to cry out. And we have this complacency. I have certainly had this complacency. And I did last week, Baruch Hashem, I did his Bodidut. I was, the snow gave me a good chance for his Bodidut. I did a couple of days of 6 hours. And on one day I did 6 hours, knowing that I needed to get to this place of being broken. Right, until you're broken, you can't really be fixed. Rav Jor said the number of times that Rav Arash told him that you can't start doing real teshuva until you're crushed. Until you're mamash crushed. You can't do teshuva just from, yeah, everything's good, Hashem, yeah, I'm really sorry, I messed up in my life, Hashem, I'm really sorry. No, the real teshuva is when I'm on the floor broken and I'm praying to Hashem to fix me. I'm completely, completely gone. I've lost it. I'm finished, and then he's going to pick me up, and now he can work with me. Now I've got something to work with. But before I get to there, I've got this level of bravado, which is just like I'm allowing Hashem into this much, And everything else is like off limits. No, this is all good, Hashem, don't touch anywhere here. You can deal with this bit. This bit I'm going to give you. Hashem, please fix that. But I need to give Hashem the whole thing. And he said, I'm completely broken. I'm completely out of it. I need help. And I did my Hezbollah, Baruch Hashem. I'm doing a 6-hour Hezbollah on the situation that I'm currently trying to deal with. And that my wife was shocked and that I was far too complacent. Everything seemed to be fine. And I was acting as if everything was fine. And I knew that I actually needed to be, after I had this conversation with Rav Arash, Kilo, I knew that I needed to break in order to get any salvation, to get any way out of this, I need to break. And I spent 6 hours asking Hashem to break me. Hashem, you've got to break me. I don't know how to deal with this. I'm acting like it's okay, and I know it's not, and I'm not feeling it, just not feeling it. Right? There's a pain inside, and I'm not feeling my own pain. It's there and I need to feel it. I need to break. I did that for 6 hours. And Hashem had mercy on me. Because 10, 15 minutes before the end of the 6 hours, 5 hours and 45, 5 hours and 50 minutes of begging Hashem, I finally broke. I cracked after that time. And I broke down in tears. It took more than 5.5 hours of begging Hashem until I broke down. And then I broke down. I then did an extra half an hour of while I was, you know, I was not going to lose the moment to give up. Oh, 6 hours finished. No, I carried on, Baruch Hashem, for an extra another 20 minutes, half an hour, just to get it all out, or get out wherever I could. And it was mamash, cleaned me up, cleaned a lot, did a lot. It was very, very helpful. And it's a big gift. It's a big gift. But he allows us to do that because we find it very difficult. Very difficult. We learned as kids to hide that emotion, to hide our feelings, to not be in touch with ourselves, because our feelings are too painful.
Hello.
So we had to get rid of them.
Hello.
But now, when we're in a place where we actually need to feel them, in order to heal ourselves. So we're in a place where we have to dig down deep. That's what Rav Jor was talking about today, about digging deep into the foundation. We have to dig deep inside us to find out who we are, to find out what am I feeling right now. I'm angry. Oh, I'm angry, I didn't know that. I'm upset. I'm jealous. All those feelings are inside, but they're all buried very deep. And it's not until we find them that we can actually fix anything. Because if I don't realize that I'm angry, if I don't realize I'm upset, then how can I ever fix it? I'm pretending to myself like, oh, I never get angry, I never get upset, I don't worry, nothing bothers me. Right? And it's not, it's a lie. But until I find that place of pain that's really hurting, and I'm actually having real pain, the pain we have is unbelievable. Right, until I find that pain and get and find that feeling, get in touch with that's really me, that's who I really feel, that's how I really feel, then I can't start to fix it. Hashem can fix it. Hashem can fix anything. I'm too scared to go there because I don't want to see that I have such pain and it can't be fixed. That would be I just couldn't handle that. So instead of going to that place where I think that I have such problems, such difficulties, such bad midot, and I can't fix them, so why go there? I don't want to look, it's just going to make me upset. I can't do anything about it. That's not true. And that's the Yetzirah that says that you can't do anything about it. The truth is, it can all be fixed. Hashem is going to fix everything. He really wants us to go there. We have to trust in Him. That's where Emunah comes. My Emunah is, I'm going to go to that place, which you can only do in Hezbollah. Right? You can't do that. You can't do that sitting in the Beit Midrash and get to that place. You have to be alone. I don't know about you, but you can't break down and bear your soul to Hashem and all that pain to come out in any other place apart from alone in His body. And that's a safe place. And Hashem is there with you. And Hashem comes and cures it, heals it, takes the pain away. But only once we do that work, that's our work. Our work is to trust Hashem. trust Hashem that that's what he's going to do, and that it's worth it for me, and that he can fix it and he will fix it. Trust Hashem. Hashem should give us the merit and the courage on those verses.
Amen.